Oh, it's a perfect time. Okay, Rabosai. I'll just close the door. And we're on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, going on to Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. Let's just review what we know. The Mishnah establishes two Isurim. Number one, an Isur of Bishul. And that applies to everything but dogim v'chagovim. Bishul means basar chaya v'of, not just basar behema, with cholav. And then the Mishnah establishes the Isur Halah, that all the above, the combinations that we mentioned before, whether it's behema, whether it's chaya or of, together with cholav, cannot be put on the same table. That's the Isur Halah. And Rav Yosef has a problem over here, and he offers his solution to the problem. His problem is that halal would seem to fall into the category of gzera l'gzera. And we oppose gzera l'gzera. And therefore, he comes to the conclusion that it must be that Of and Chaya is Doraisa. If Of and Chaya together with Cholov is Doraisa, then it makes sense that Chachamim made one single gzera of halal. If you put Of and Cholov on the same table, you come to eat them together. And therefore, it's a pure classical gzera. But if, on the other hand, you assume, like Rabbi Akiva, that Of is derabanan, then we have a problem. Because Of itself is a gzera, that if you eat Cholov and Of, you'll come to eat Basar and Cholov. And now you're telling me, don't put the Of together with Cholov on the table, because that's going to lead you to what? To eat the combination thereof, which itself is only an Issur Derabanan. Therefore, Rav Yosef presents the following conclusion, that our Mishnah reflects the Shita of the Chachomim of Rabbi Akiva, and Of is Doraisa. If Of is Doraisa, then we're justified to have an Issur Halah as one Gzera, and there's no problem of Gzera L'Gzera. So now the Gemara, if you recall, asks a question on Rav Yosef. Mina Temra. How do you know such a thing? Correct? If you're looking on Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph and counting up from the bottom of the page, it's the second line up from the bottom of the page, we know Tamra. And this is a very strange question, as the Rishonim all point out. Mina Tamra means, what's your source, Rav Yosef? Your premise has to be proven, it has to be well documented, well established. Your premise is that we don't have a gzera l'gzera. Why not? Maybe we should have a gzera l'gzera. And the Rishonim say, what do you mean? You need a documentation for that? You need to prove that aim goes in gzera l'gzera? I'll give you a list of sugyas all over Shas that assume that aim goes in gzera l'gzera. So why did the Gemara feel compelled to ask Rav Yosef and put him against the wall, who be not tamer, quote to me some source for aim goes rim gzera l'gzera? So the way the Rishonim answer this, and you'll see this more or less, not in these words, in Tosas Dibra Maschel Uminah Temra, is that there's a counter argument to Gzera L'Gzera. And that is what? What's the flip side of Gzera L'Gzera? Okay, Kula Chad Gzera. Which means that if we don't institute a second Gzera, the first Gzera is going to fall apart. Chazal had to add an extension to the first gzera, because if left without the extension, there'll be inner contradictions in the mind of the people. They can't accept that you're allowing this unless it means that you're allowing the original gzera. So when you allow the extension, if you're mekel and you're more liberal on the extension, people will then question the original gzera, and the whole enterprise is going to fall apart. That's called kula chada gzera. And therefore, the Rishonim say that's what bothered the Gemara about Rav Yosef. His logic and his premise that halah, with regard to achila, is a gzera l'gzera, is very questionable. How do I know that halah is a separate gzera to achila? That if I allow you to put them both on the table, you'll eat them together. Maybe not. Maybe halah is not another gzera. We're not adding another statistical probability that, oops, he might come to achila. That's not what we're saying. But what we're saying is that halah is a necessary extension of the original gzera of achila. Because if you're telling me to put this on the table, and again, whatever we put on the table, we're going to eat,
I mean, that's what a table is for. You know, sometimes you serve a long meal. So you have, you know, you have the mana rishona, the mana shniya. You know, you have the entree and then the main course of the dessert. So maybe, you know, the balad bayit is going to expect you to eat them, you know, sequentially in steps. But generally speaking, what's ever on the table at the same time is meant to be eaten at the same time. That's the exact purpose of why I put it on the table. I didn't put it on the table for aesthetics. You know, I might put flowers on the table to beautify the table, but food I put on the table to be eaten. I think, I don't know. Maybe if you have an animal, you put food on the table to feed the animal. I don't know. Usually we don't put food on the table for the animals, right? I think. I don't know. I don't own a dog. I mean, I asked my father once for the afikomen for a dog, but he would be willing to buy me anything but a dog, you know. And some people are very allergic to dogs. Other people love dogs. You know, a dog is a man's best friend. The Torah seems to like dogs, like Kelev Tashlichun also, right? And I could spoke a kaper schar called birya. The kelev lo yechatz l'shono. But usually food on the table is for human consumption. If I put the food on the table, that's a message, go ahead and eat it. And eat it means eat it together. You know, it doesn't mean, you know, eat it sequentially, one step at a time. So therefore, it doesn't make sense, that's what the Gemara is arguing against Rav Yosef, to institute a gzeras achil without the extra step of a gzeras halah al shulchan. It's all one gzerah. People won't begin to understand the logic. You know, it's the whole thing is going to fall apart. You're telling me, put it on the table, but don't eat it. How can you tell me to put it on the table and don't eat it? If you're allowing me to put it on the table, it must be that I'm allowed to eat it. One permission assumes another permission. So we're going to just draw the next step conclusion. Is that the whole gzerah is going to fall apart? That's called kula chada gzerah. And therefore, the Gemara is pressing Rav Yosef with his back against the wall. Can you, Rav Yosef, prove to us from someplace in Shas that on the one hand, we can have a gzerah that institutes an iser achila, and on the other hand, have a heter halal gavishul? That's what we're looking at.
They're talking about basam v'chalav. We're talking about cow meat, not both. Because Rav Yosef doesn't differentiate. He says it's
Doraita. Right. No, but you have to understand that Rav Yosef is talking to a phantom Bar Plugta. You know, this is the argument against this person who maintains that Oaf is Darabonin. So Rav Yosef turns to the person and says, Oaf is Darabonin. How could there be an Isra Halon and Oaf? That itself is exera.
So then Rav Yosef is questioning how
and therefore that's the implicit question.
He's
answering it's no right, and therefore it's not exera. So now the Gemara says to him, and how do you know, Rav Yosef, that you slug up this phantom opponent by saying it can't be the Rabbanim because it would be halo, would therefore be exera? Maybe not. Maybe halah, even if Oaf is the Rabbanon, is built into the original gzeirah of the Yisra Achila of Oaf. When they prohibited Oaf by Achila, they Memela had to add that extra little piece and prohibit it in halah. How do you, Rav Yosef, know that halah is a separate independent gzeirah onto Achila? Maybe it's not. Maybe it's built into Achila in the sense that the Yisra Achila as gzeirah of Rabbanon would not stand on its own 2 feet, if you're going to permit halah. Halah is so close to achila, it's almost a green light to eat the thing, that you can't possibly tell me, well, the people are going to understand that they're not allowed to eat this oaf with cholav, and yet at the same time they're allowed to put it on the same table. Putting on the same table is a green light, is a clear-cut message that you're allowed to eat them together. Otherwise, how could you possibly allow them to be on the same table? The purpose for which they're brought to the table is for achilah. So you're telling me, go ahead and eat it. Can I tell you to eat something and then tell you don't eat it? It doesn't make sense. So there has to be what we call a kula chada gzeirah here. And now Rav Yosef's back is against the wall. Rav Yosef is now forced to show us that halah is a separate gzeirah atu achilah. That in theory, you can have an isra achilah derabanan, and at the same time, if you want to allow me halah, you can do so. You can permit halah, and it would not undermine the Isra Gzeira of Achila, the original Isra Achila of Gzeira. If halah could exist in the a heter halah independent of the gzeras achila. So if I could show you somewhere on the face of the halachic map that achila asur, put an X, halah mutar, put a V, right? If I could show you that, then Rav Yosef has a great argument, because then if halah is independent of achila, right, it emerges as an independent entity, then halah becomes a gzera, unless Oph is d'oraisa. It says, Rav Yosef, you see from that Mishnah, if the Mishnah prohibits halah and Oph, it must be because achilas Oph is d'oraisa. That's Rav Yosef's argument. But first, Rav Yosef proved to me that halah is a separate independent entity. The counter argument against Rav Yosef is crystal clear. Kula chad gzerahi. Halah is part and parcel of the original gzera of achila. And therefore, Yolam, I can tell you, Rav Yosef, our oaf is only derabanan. If oaf is only derabanan, so you add another gzera of halah, it's a gzera l'gzera. The answer is no. Halah is not a separate piece. Halah is part of the original gzera. When they formulated the gzera and they took a vote amongst the Sanhedrin Agdola, they voted on a hyphenated entity that has two parts to it that become one, achila and halah. The Isra achila needs the Isra halah. The Isra halah completes the Isra achila. It's one and the same. It's one entity. That's what the counter argument is against Rav Yosef. So now Rav Yosef is going to quote a Mishnah where, Rav Osai? How is Rav Yosef going to establish his premise? In challah. Because the Mishnah in challah says that what you can't eat, you're allowed to put on the table. You're allowed to put challahs chutzlarts on your table, even though you're what? You're a zar. You're not allowed to eat it, but you can put it on the table. Why can't you eat chalas chutz laretz? Rashi spells it out, it's a gzera to chalas eretz Yisrael. Oh, you worried about, I might come to do X. So tell me that I shouldn't be able to put it on my table. Nay, the Mishnah says you're allowed to put it on the table. Feistos, we have to learn from that halah is a separate independent gzera, and ain goes from gzera to gzera. What's the difference? That's where Rav Yosef is arguing. What's the difference between the Isra Achilas Oaf and its relationship to Halah and the Isra of a Zar to eat Chalas Chutzlaretz and its relationship to Halah? In both cases, you begin with a Gzeras Isra Achila Derabbanan, and therefore in both cases, you have to decide, should we tag along Halah? Well, one argument is to say, well, we have to tag along halah because people can't accept, you know, the message of halah and at the same time maintain the isra achila. The other argument is that halah is nothing more than a gzera to achila. Says Rav Yosef, I'll prove to you that halah is nothing more than a gzera to achila, because otherwise, how would we tell this zar in chutzlaretz, A and B at the same time? A, you're enjoined from eating chalas chutzlaretz, but B, you're allowed to keep it on the table. Bring it out to the table. By the way, why are they bringing it out to the table? We're not talking about Rishayim who are deliberately wanting to violate the law. No, I'm saying, why are we bringing chalas chutzlaretz onto the table for achila purposes? Exactly, because who do I have on the table? In addition to myself, I have the kohen. See, I thought the truth is, but I don't want to get off on a tangent, that the answer to Rav Yosef's question is a totally different one. If I bring things to the table for you, and I bring both A and B, which cannot be eaten together, that's a problem. But if I have two people at the table, and I bring out two foodstuffs, and one is for him and one is for him, you know, this is going to be a sugya later on about achsanoyim. Let's say you're in a hotel. This is common, contemporary, like, you know, from the Gemara of so many centuries ago. It's Mamish speaking to our generation. We are both guests in the dining room of a hotel. And you're eating milchiks, and I'm eating fleishiks. Is that a problem? We're eating on the same table. So could be that in the case of achsanoyim, you know, you're paying for your food, I'm paying for my food. We're not gonna swap food. I don't know. Here you're a Kohen, and I'm a Yisrael, so maybe one would say that, you know, we're not going to, you know, I know that the Kohenim have their food, you know, it's like you're on a diet, let's say. You don't eat anything that has any smell of peanuts on it, right? What's that called, the allergic reaction to peanuts? There's a name for it in science. You know, 100 years ago, everybody ate peanuts. But today, people eat peanuts and never they die from it. You know, so it's unbelievable how we've changed. What's it called?
Anaphylactic.
So imagine you're anaphylactic and I love peanuts. And we're going to both eat from the same table. You know, that's a little bit of a problem. Well, maybe it's not a problem because I know that this is for you and this is for me. You have your dietary needs and I have my dietary needs, right? So anyway, but that the Gemara doesn't suggest. The Gemara thinks that putting chalas chutzot on the table, and on this table you have both a Kohen and a Yisrael, that should logically be a problem.
That's Rav Yosef's argument.
Oh, so Rav Yosef, you know why it's mutter to do it? Because chalas chutzot is the Rabbanon, the ain gozel, gzer. So you see that halal gabi shulchan comes under the rule of ain gozel, gzer, gzer. If that be the case, let's apply to have Mishnah. How can I add a tag along of an Iser Halah and Oaf if Oaf is only Durabbanon? The Teretz must be that Oaf is Doraisa. That's the whole, I mean, again, you know, it's very miserable, but at the end of the day, you know, if you review, this is the kind of suit you have to chaz it over 5 times, I think, unless you're a genius. You know, geniuses know it on the first time, that's it. They never forget. But for your average rank and file citizen, you really, this is the kind of sugi you have to mamish harva over and over again till you hack it around, you know, that you have to realize that this whole sugya revolves around one major issue, and then afkamina is going to be whether Oaf and Amishna is Doraisa or Drabon. What is the issue? The relationship between the Yisra Achil and the Yisra Halah. Can one be maintained without the other? In which case, halal is just a tag along, or no. You can't maintain one without the other. It's got to be a package deal. The message of halal is clearly achila. You can't, you know, you can't open the berries and close the berries. You know, if I give you a green light to put it on the table, the mail I gave you a green light to eat it together. Because that's why it's on the table. It's not there for aesthetic reasons. It's not there to feed the dogs. It's there for people to eat. It's like a shmor. You know, go ahead and enjoy the shmor. So what are you going to tell them? Oh, you can only enjoy the... You know, some people, by the way, are upset when they serve fish and meat at the same shmor. Because you get confused. You know, you put on the thing, the fish and the meat. Again, you know, fish and meat is not the worst tragedy in the world. It's really a sakana. But still, you know, chamira sakanta misura. I don't know biologically exactly how the Torah Tarifuav today explains and justifies the mixing of fish and meat together. I don't know if it's a... Maybe nishtanu atvoim, I don't know exactly. But back in the day, they didn't encourage you to eat fish and meat together. In fact, the Beis Yosef was of the opinion you shouldn't be eating fish with milchiks either. It's not healthy. But all this is today is passé, but we don't eat fish with meat. And that's the thing, when you're putting it on the table, you're telling me to eat it. You're not telling me, well, eat it sequentially, as we said before. Oh. So let's see the Gemara inside. Says Rav Yosef, I'll prove to you that this halacha of halah is only gzera l'gzera. Just now we learned in the Mishnah, chal chalas chutz l'aretz, and here we turn to Amid Beis. Necheles imazar al shulchan v'nitenes l'kol kohen. Okay, l'kol kohen sheyirtzer avosai, that's a separate sugya unto itself. As I mentioned earlier, that has to do with dinei tuma v'tara. There are different categories of tuma v'tara, and which apply and which do not apply to achilas, chalas, chutzarts. That's a whole sugya unto itself. But what we need to know is necheles imazar al shulchan echad. The kohen is eating his chalas chutzarts together with the zar on the same table. How can we allow that to go on? You know the phrase in English, I don't know if you're familiar with it, mixed messages? You've heard that? This whole sugya, if I had to give it a title, is mixed messages. That's what it's all about. Meaning, according to the Mandiomar, and we'll soon see Abaye, who maintains that Av Mishnah holds that Oaf is the Rabbanon, to permit halas Oaf v'cholav on the same shulchan is mixed messages. It's like a mixed marriage, you know, like Nebuch, you have a Jew marries a non-Jew, right? So let's assume the woman is Jewish and the man is non-Jewish. You know, and they raise a family. So the father takes the kid to church and the mother takes the kid to synagogue. So he knows a little bit about Yom Kippur and some other holidays which you won't go into. So he's got mixed messages. My father once gave a whole drasha called Choose Your Grandfather. You know, which grandfather do you want? You know, but today you have people, you know, everything goes together. That's what America is all about together. Alts zusammen. You know, it's an open society and we have mixed marriages. Anyway, Rachman al Itzlan. So here's a case of mixed messages. Comes along Rav Yosef and he says, no, it's not a mixed message. It's not a mixed message at all. I can tell you to put it on the Shulchan for whatever reason, but you have enough intelligence and enough self-discipline to be careful about not going one step further and eating them together.
Is that what Rav Yosef is saying? Because I
understand Rav Yosef. Otherwise, it's not
exactly. He's saying you're not allowed to put it on the Shulchan. And why aren't you allowed to put it? Because there's no difference between Of and Basal. It's the same.
Well, no, so then you have no proof that Of is... Oh, you mean Of is Doraisa,
you said it's Doraisa,
right? No, but again, Zev, what I'm asking you is to present Rav Yosef's argument to disprove his opponent, Hayariv Shalom. Okay. Right? His Yariv is saying that Of is only Drabbana.
So he said, because the Mishnah doesn't differentiate, it says... Of is Doraita, it's not going by the way of Rabbi Akiva.
Wait. Sev, you're going too fast and too far. Stop early. I want to know the following. Which halacha in our Mishnah proves that Of is Doraita, according to Rav Yosef?
The fact that Of isn't mentioned.
None. Zev, we're not on the same page. The halacha in our Mishnah, Rabosai, that proves Rav Yosef's thesis, Lishitasa, I mean, again, we'll soon see that Abai is not going to buy into it, is the halacha...
It's a gezeira, and it's a gezeira, we don't accept.
Right, so which halacha in the Mishnah? Again, go back to the Mishnah. Doc, can you do that for me? What does the Mishnah say that proves that Of is Doraisa?
It's because... In
what? Hello? Just 1 second.
I heard, but he says it's...
Too complicated for me. I need just one simple answer to a simple question. If we don't have the simple answer to a simple question, no. Again, what I'm asking you, Doc, we have a communication problem here. You're from South Africa, right? And I'm from Brooklyn, New York. So that's the two different cultures. No, what I'm saying is, look at the Mishnah and pinpoint one halacha in the Mishnah that proves, according to Rav Yosef's argument, that Of is Doraisa. Which halacha? What do you say? No, I'm asking you. Rav Yosef holds, let's go back to Omer Aleph, right? Omer Rav Yosef, Shema min ha-basar Of b'chol Doraisa. Correct? That's on Daf Kuftal and Omer Aleph, 4 lines up from the bottom. Correct? Which... Pinpoint just one halacha, one statement in the Mishnah that proves Rav Yosef's thesis. Lishitasa. He gave me too much. I need... Correct, these are halacha. The Mishnah says you cannot put Of and Cholav on the same table. Now, Doc, we're ready for you. So if the Mishnah holds that Of is only Drabbanon, what problem do you have? Xeru. How can you tell me? Don't put Of and Cholav on the same table because you're going to come to eat them together. Who cares if you eat them together? You're telling me that Of is only Drabbana. Oh, but we're afraid if you eat it together, you'll violate Xeru Drabbana. That's called Xeru. Rav Yosef maintains that aim goes with Xeru. Is that crystal clear? Yeah. Again, if we don't have that clear, we're going nowhere in this sugya. We're like Mamish, you know. We're before square one, even, you know. We're in the bull. What's it called? Where do the pitchers practice there? What's called the
bullpen?
The bullpen. We're in the bullpen. Yeah.
And
those Blue Jays there.
And his proof is from Chala. But we don't do that on
itself. No, his proof from right. His proof. Well, again, okay. That's pretty good. I would have said it slightly different. His proof from Chala is that Chala is a gzera l'gzera. In other words, when the achil itself is only derabbanon, if that is achil is only derabbanon, then the halah issue becomes a gzera l'gzera. Good? And therefore you're allowed to do it. Why you're allowed to put on tefillin?
He's deciding whether Of is derabbanon or derabbanon based on whether halah is gzera l'gzera.
Correct. 100%. If he can prove that Allah is gzeira l'gzeira, and that's what he's going to prove from Chala, then ipso facto, Oaf has to be Doraisa. It's a very fascinating argument. You know, if you would write this out in logical symbolisms, it would take you a full page. Because there are so many logical assumptions. It's Mamish Chadgadya. There's one premise built on another premise, on another premise. But the bottom line is, to simplify, you know, the logic, because we're not in Princeton. You know, Princeton has a whole department on logic. You know, there's this famous argument for the existence of God, which is called Saint Alsam. He was a priest, and he came up with an argument, a philosophical argument, called the ontological proof for the existence of God. So the PhD fellow who wrote on this thing, he wrote a book this thick on the ontological proof for the existence of God. This thick, Rabbi Osei. And you and I, unless you took advanced logic, we wouldn't be able to read one line in the whole book. Because it's all in logical symbolisms. On one argument. It's one of the three famous arguments for the existence of God in the history of philosophy. So what I'm saying is, if we would reduce this sugya to logical symbolisms, to logical symbols, it would probably take a whole page. But if you want to simplify it, all you have to remember the following. That there's something called a gzera l'gzera. On the other hand, there's something called kula chad gzera. And the rules go like this. If the second gzera is just a way of avoiding the violation of the first gzera, that's called a gzera l'gzera, that's a no-no. Rav Yosef wants to prove that halah is nothing more than a way of avoiding eating this basar of. And it's a gzera. If it's a gzera and basar of itself is a gzera, you're in deep trouble because that's a gzera, gzera. The fact that the Mishnah prohibits us from placing of and cholav on the same table, it must be that of is doraisa. If the Isra Achilas of the cholav were only derabbanan, we'd have a gzera, gzera. And I'll prove it to you, says Rav Yosef. From Chala. Chala, there's no Isra Halah, even though the Achila is derabbanan. There's an Isra Achila derabbanan, Chal's Chutzot's for Zar. But nevertheless, you're allowed to put it on the same table. Why? Because Halah is a gzera. Now let's see Abaye. Abaye says, now, let me just tell you, by way of introduction, Abaye maintains, this was the phantom Yariv, the phantom opponent, that Oaf is only Durabon. And our Mishnah holds that the Isra Achilas Oaf is only Durabon. If that be the case, then why is there an Isra Halah on Oaf, correct? That's what you should be asking yourself. That's what this Abaye is all about. So are the cards on the table now? It's always good to have our sights set.
By the way, it could be that Abaye and Rav Yosef are not really arguing on the halacha, because it could be... What does Rav Yosef say? The Amishnah is not going by Rabbi Akiva.
According to Rav Yosef.
According to Rav Yosef. And Abaye says, I can be Miyoshev at Aliba de Rabbi Akiva as well. And maybe they're not even arguing on the Alecha, they're just arguing, is the Mishnah?
Yeah, Enochinami, you're right. But they, what they are arguing about is, as we said over and over again, is whether or not Halah is a Gzera, or Halah is built into the Isra Achila. Mm-hmm. Good? Okay, that's called Gzera Gzera versus Kulachad Gzera. Babalei Abaye. Okay, let's read Abaye. Again, it gets a little complicated, but if we hold cup, we'll make the rounds. You know, we'll get to home plate. Omle Abaye Bishlema Iashmin and Chalas Chutz Laretz Ba'aretz. If the Mishnah was addressing a case where you have Chalas Eretz Yisrael, which is Doraisa, available, accessible, and the Mishnah says, you know what? Chalas chutz laretz, if you get too used to eating it and you're not a Kohen, you might come to eat chalas eretz Yisrael. Now, if a Zari eats chalas eretz Yisrael, that's a no-no. That's a real boo-boo. For that, you get misa v'dei shamayim. That's like a Zari eating truma, a Zari eating chalas, the same identical isa. So let's assume, says Abaye, again, this is just a theoretical assumption, it's not the right assumption. Let's incorrectly assume that our Mishnah in Challah was talking about a situation, a scenario where there's Challah's Eretz Yisrael around. Which means that if you eat Challah's Chutz Laretz, you might come to eat Challah's Eretz Yisrael. So imagine we're sitting at a table and there's Challah's Eretz Yisrael all over the place. And I sit on this table with a Kohen and what's being served, my Chulin, and his Challah's Chutz Laretz. Oh, says Abai, now we have to get very nervous because there's Challah's Eretz Yisrael all around. And if he's going to eat the Challah's Chutz Laretz, we have to be very, very concerned about that because tomorrow he may very well eat Challah's Eretz Yisrael, which as we said before, is a severe violation. However, says Abaye, that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah in Challah is addressing the case of Challah's Chutz Laretz in Chutz Laretz. Okay? So now here we are in the city of Edmonton, all the way in the west coast of Canada, where the only thing that's interesting that goes on there is if you go into the mall, okay? That's what they say, you take the mall out of Edmonton and you have to change the name to Deadmonton, okay? So that's all. So we're in the city of Edmonton. What kind of challah is there in Edmonton? Where is it? Alberta, right? Is that what it's called? What kind of challah are you going to get there? There's no Challah's Eretz Yisrael out in the boondocks over there in the western part of Canada. You just won't find any. So what are we afraid of? We're afraid that if you put Challah's Chutz Laretz on the same table with the Tzar might come to eat what? The Challah's Chutz Laretz, karamba, heaven forbid, will he come to eat Challah's Eretz Yisrael? There ain't no Challah's Eretz Yisrael around. If, says Abaye, the Mishnah, we're talking about a case where this Jew came from Edmonton and he went to Yerushalayim and he was sitting on the table and there's Challah's Eretz Yisrael all over the place, then you have to be very nervous about Challah's Chutz Laretz. Because once he starts eating Challah's Chutz Laretz, yeah, he brought his Challah from Edmonton to Yerushalayim. And then you have to be very concerned that he might come to eat Challah's Eretz Yisrael. And then, you know what? The Heter Halah would be very, very problematic. In fact, Abai seems to imply that I would have to grant you that in such a scenario where you have a Kohen and a Yisrael eating together from a table in Eretz Yisrael and the Kohen is eating Challah's Chutz Laretz, we cannot allow them both to eat at the same table. Because today he's going to take a bite of the Challah, this Tzar is going to take a bite of the Challah's Chutz Laretz and tomorrow he's going to take a bite of the Challah's Eretz Yisrael. Says Abai, Bishlema Iashmein and Challah's Chutz Laretz Ba'aretz. If the Mishnah, theoretically, hypothetically, it's not so, but if the Mishnah would have been discussing a case of Challah's Chutz Laretz in Eretz Yisrael, De'ikol Migzar, it makes sense to make a Gzeira Mishum Challah's Ha'aretz Do'oraisa, which means there's a possibility of violating an Isa Do'oraisa, Velo Gazrinon, and yet we allow you to eat Challah's Chutz Laretz on the same table in Yerushalayim with your chulin, ikol mishmei minei. Then you'd have a clear part proof. How could we allow this unless we assume that halah is a separate, independent gzera? And it's a gzera l'gzera because we're afraid that if we put it on the same table, you'll eat Challah's Chutz Laretz, and if you like eat Challah's Chutz Laretz, you'll come to eat Challah's Eretz Yisrael. Ela b'chutz laretz. But the case of this brisa, excuse me, of this Mishnah, is a case of Challah's Chutz Laretz. No. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Is a case of Challah's Chutz Laretz where? In Chutz Laretz. That's what I meant to say, sorry. Mishum delekel and mixarhu. There's no real bona fide fear that he's going to eat Challah's Eretz Yisrael. There's no Challah's Eretz Yisrael anywhere for thousands of miles. So again, let's just be correct. He's not allowed to eat Challah's Chutz Laretz, even though there's no Challah's Eretz Yisrael, because tomorrow he's going to take a trip to Eretz Yisrael, and he said, back in the old country, we used to eat challah, so I might as well eat challah here in the Holy Land, And then he's going to violate an Isur Chamor, an Isur Doraisa. If that were the case, if the scenario being addressed by this Mishnah Challah was Chalas Chutzlartz in Eretz Yisrael, as I said, he took a package, you know, Ziploc bag of Challah from Chutzlartz on his El Al flight to Eretz Yisrael when he came here. And he's sitting there eating chalas chutzlartz on the sitting with the Kohen eating chalas chutzlartz. Then it would have made sense to talk about an isra halah. You know, we're afraid that once you put it together, he's going to eat chalas chutzlartz, and once he eats chalas chutzlartz, he's going to eat chalas eretz yisrael. But in chutzlartz, there's no possibility that there's a theoretical, but there's no real, you know, probability that he'll eat chalas chutzlaretz and chalas eretz yisrael and chutzlaretz. There's no, even if he would go to every single kosher store in the whole of Canada, he wouldn't find chalas eretz yisrael. They just don't have it. In fact, you're not allowed to send chalas eretz yisrael into chutzlaretz. It's prohibited. Aval hocha, but what's the case in our Mishnah? What are we afraid of? If he'll come to eat oaf with cholov, he might come to eat what? He might come to eat behema with cholov. Isharis lelasuki ofu gvina. Now, what do you want to do? You want to say that oaf is only drabanan, and therefore we have to allow him to what? To eat oaf, to place oaf and cholov on the same table. Asilasuki basar gvina. Tomorrow he's going to take behema. Basavim, and he's going to put it on the same table with Gvina. Umechil Basar B'cholav Doraisa. Here in our Mishnah, Basar B'cholav Doraisa is accessible. In the Mishnah in Challah, Chalas Eretz Yisrael Doraisa is not even accessible. Where in Chutzlitz can you get a hold of Chalas Eretz Yisrael? So there's no reason to make, you know, to make this Gzera so far-reaching and so all-inclusive that we have to throw the Isra Halah into boot. That we don't have to do, because there's no real possibility of violating the Doraisa. So you're worried about Chalas Chutzlaretz as Gzeir Drabonin? Okay, but don't go as far as to prohibit Halah. That says Abaye, makes a lot of sense. But in the case of Oaf, you're going to tell me, don't eat oaf, because he might eat basa, which is doraisa, right? But don't eat oaf, but put it on the table. Says Abai, that we can't do. Again, even though oaf is derabanan, it's not exeril exera. Why isn't it exeril exera, says Abai? Because one of two things. This is where I don't know. Either Abai is saying that the chances of his eating them together are so increased that it's not exeril exera. Halah is so close, it's so predictable and probable that he'll eat it together that it's not a separate exeril exera. Or maybe what Abai is saying, which would be a much more fundamental presentation, would be that you can't have one without the other. The minds of the people, they cannot accept that there's an Isra Achilan Oaf, and yet you're allowed to put it on the same table. That's, to them, that's a contradiction in terms. So I wanted you to take a look at this Mari Shapiro that I gave out. I don't know if you have a photocopy of it. How many people I gave it out last time? You want to tell you don't have a copy? It was sitting on the desk here, but everything gets lost that you put on the desk. Abai's disproof of Rav Yosef, yeah, go ahead.
If the Mishnah was talking about Eretz Israel, he would say you're not allowed to bring Chalat Kutzlat on the table with Chulin.
Correct. Because that's going to lead you possibly to eat Chalat Eretz Yisrael. And Halah and Achila would be part of one package. The reason why Halah was not an add-on, a tag-on to this package, says Abaye in the case of Chal, because the Mishnah is addressing Chalas Chutzlaretz, there's the Chutzlaretz, and there's no Chalas Eretz Yisrael to be had. Nowhere, no how. Excellent, Doc. Which means that according to Abaye, if you have Chalas Chutzlaretz here in Eretz Yisrael, you would not be allowed to eat it on the same table with your chulin. You would not be allowed to place it on the same table with your chulin. Rav Yosef, on the other hand, would allow it. Because Rav Yosef holds that Halah is a separate Gzeira. And since you're worried that he might come to eat Chalas Chutzlaretz, which itself is only a Gzeira because he might eat Chalas Eretz Yisrael, now we have two, one step removed, and it's a Gzeira with Gzeira. So to get a grasp on what they're really arguing about, what are they fighting about? You know, Rav Yosef and Abaye, I wanted to learn this piece with you. Again, if there's a possibility of photocopying, yeah, how many copies do we need? Doc, you have one. Okay, and Sammy, you have one, right? So we only need two more copies. You know what? Maybe I'll tell Zev to make three more copies because I still have a share too. Zev, can you make three copies? Okay. All right. Now, Rabosai, when I learn an Achron, I usually like to give even a half a minute of an introduction to the biography. Here, I'm not going to do so. And the reason for it is, I don't know who the Ma'ari Shapiro is. And I tried to ask around, and nobody seems to know. The only thing I can guess is that he comes from the famous Shapiro family. Do you guys know where the name Shapiro comes from? So there was a city called Speyer. I don't know, what is it in English? Speyer. So now the Jewish community in Speyer was destroyed during the Crusades. And to this day, the historians argue about how many Jews perished. This is for the next class. And the Crusaders were just barbaric. I mean, so there were a few Jews who survived the Crusades from Speyer, and they called themselves Shapiro. So if you know anybody with the name Shapiro, which is a pretty common name, then probably he's a descendant of the Nitzolei Speyer, you know, from 1,000 years ago. We have one of the kinnis on Tisha B'Av. I forgot what it's called right now. It'll come to me in a second. Which is dedicated to the Crusades. And Speyer is mentioned on Tisha B'Av in the kinnis. Anyway. So he says the following. L'chora... Yechiel, you have another round if you want to come in too. Okay. He says, L'chora haya efsho l'farish sheyeshnei mine gzera l'gzera. Okay, so the question is I should have put an arrow, you know, to make it. It's all the way on the bottom on the left column, right? And you may see a letter samach bet. Do you see such a letter if you want to circle it? And it'll say Bechidushe Ma'ari Shapiro. Okay. Shapira? Yeah, in English it's Shapiro. You're right. It's Shapira. Right? He writes the following. Shnei Mine Gzera L'Gzera. Are we together?
Yep.
Now when you see this, you know, what do you say?
Bottom,
yeah. Left.
Yeah, I got it.
And you look for a letter Samach Bet, if that helps you.
Yeah.
Okay? When you see the Shnei Mine, Shnei Suge, Gzeru L'Gzeru, you know you're in for something exciting. Okay? This is breakthrough, he says. Aleph. The first category is that the second Gzera has no relationship to the Doraisa. But what's the purpose of the second Gzera? It is Lechazek et HaGzera HaRishona. To strengthen the first Gzera. Now this is a footnote if you're interested. Again, our time is very precious and I apologize for that. But if you're interested, if you go back to the paragraph that ends with this little Samach Bet, which is a footnote, it's the paragraph that starts Umina Temra. Again, I don't want to waste time on this because our time is too precious. So if you follow me, fine. If you don't, you don't. So if you skip down to the third line of that paragraph, he says, Matsinu Baharbe Makomos, and at the end of the fourth line it says, and this you might want to underline, She'im lo yigzeru is afal zeh, I'm sorry, She'im lo yigzeru afal zeh, comma, lo tamod hagzera harishon. That's what we're looking at here in the first category of gzeru l'gzer. This is what we call in the language of Shas, according to the Ma'ari Shapiro, Kula Chada Gzera, which means that if you don't accept the second Gzera, Lo Ta'amod HaGzera HaRishon. Okay? Now, when we talk about when we talk about the concept of mistakes, you know, in a general sense, it breaks down into two categories. There's what's called toes, and then it's called shichacha. Toes means a logical mistake. Shichacha means I forget myself. So the question is, where do we place halah? Is halah to be placed on the toes or on the shichacha? Let's try, we'll go backwards here. Shichacha is a lot easier. Shichacha means you bring out to the table chicken and milk. And shichacha, I'm going to forget myself. I'm going to forget that, wait a minute, I got chicken in my mouth and now I took a piece of cheese in my mouth. That's called shichacha, right? All of Masechta Shabbos is about Gzeiros Mishum Shichacha. You know, you forget it Shabbos, you'll forget this, you know, you'll climb up on a tree and you might forget it Shabbos, you'll pluck one of the fruits from the tree. You know, you'll, if you're standing in one Rishus and you stretch your hand out into another Rishus, you might forget that it's one Rishus, another Rishus. All of Masechta Shabbos is about Shichacha. Correct. Hesech Hadar. That's the second category. We're not up to that yet. But that's the easier category. There's another category called toes, which is an intellectual mistake. Not forgetfulness. It's almost a philosophical error. It means that it's impossible for you to tell me that Y is permissible and X is not. Because if Y is permissible, then X also must be permissible. Which, if we apply to Allah, means that in the mind of the people, it's impossible for them to understand, to comprehend the differentiation between halal and achila. You can't tell me, well, bring this all out on the table for purposes of eating, and turn around and tell me, well, you're not allowed to eat it together. Because the very fact that you're bringing it out to the table means, as we discussed this at great length, is sending a message that you should be eating it. I'm not putting it there for aesthetic reasons. It's not a vase of flowers on the table. This is food. And if I'm telling you, here's oaf and here's a cup of milk, you know, so eat the oaf and drink the milk. That's more or less the message. No, if the Chachamim are saying drink the milk, if the Chachamim are telling you that you're allowed to bring the chicken, the oaf on the table with the chalav, then basically in the minds of the people, it's that close to draw the conclusion that they're telling me also that I'm allowed to eat them together. Because if they felt I couldn't eat them together, why would they allow me to bring them to the table together? That's the first category of the Ma'ariv Shapiro. That's what I call the category of toes. You cannot maintain the first gzera without extending it to include the second gzera. It's almost like an inner contradiction. And what we spoke about before called mixed messages. You can't give me the message of bring them out to the table and expect me to understand that I have to maintain the gzera that I can't eat them together. What's the second category? Now he gets to Bayes. Yeah. Oh, he says, Bayes, right, Matzinu v'kama v'komos, She'ein omrim gzera l'gzera. No, it's the rule of gzera l'gzera doesn't apply, but rather, kulachad gzera. Bayes, be'ofen she'gazru gzera al dvar Torah, that's the first gzera, gzera A, Exhibit A, right? V'hashayla im yesh l'gzar et otah gzera gam al isa d'rabbanan shehu gzera mishum advar Torah. In other words, you have a gzera atu advar Torah. Let's say, don't eat oaf because you might eat behema. And now, should we take another gzera, meaning don't put it on the table because you might come to eat it, when in the worst case scenario, you're going to come to eat oaf, which itself is only a gzera mishum dvar Torah. That's called a gzera l'gzera. So again, what we're dealing with in the second category is a toes upon the toes, is a toes upon the toes, meaning, I shouldn't have used that word, but okay, it's a shichacha upon a shichacha. What I mean to say is that a person is going to think that if he's allowed to eat oaf, he's allowed to eat behema. Now, let's make sure that he doesn't eat oaf. How do we make sure that he doesn't eat oaf? Because if you're going to sit him down on the table with oaf and gvina, he's going to come to eat oaf and gvina. No, so what's so terrible about it? Ah, because we don't want you to eat ofen gvina. Why? Because that's a gzera d'rabbanan because of behemah. So the second gzera of halah becomes a gzera atu the first gzera. So should we maintain that there's an let me ask you the following question. Am I allowed to put basar behema and gvina on the same table?
No.
No. That for sure is awesome. That was never an issue, because that's one single gzera. Now, you have another gzera, not to eat oaf with challah. Should I combine both gzeras together? Should I say that to the same extent that you're not allowed to put behema and challah on the same table, Yisrael Allah, I should apply that to oaf as well? That's the second category. Because what you're saying is that the second gzera of Allah is going to guarantee that you don't violate the first gzera. That's already a gzera. So the Maharish Shapiro claims that this second category is a machlokas between Abaye and Rav. Where is this? In two places, the same machlokas appears, in Shabbos Daf Yud Aleph and in Masechta Erevin on Daf Tzadites. What does it say? So again, what we're looking for is what I call a harkava, meaning a piggyback. We're going to take two different gzeras and we're going to combine them. Okay? One gzera is, you're not allowed to stand in a Rishus HaYachid and lean over into a Rishus HaRabim to drink. Okay? I don't know if you've ever gone, like, for example, in places where there's no air. Let's say you're on a tiul in Europe, right? Israelis love to travel to Europe. I don't know, now there's a lot of anti-Semitism in Europe. But let's say you go on a trip to Europe. So what do you do on Shabbos? You know, the rest of the week, you know, you're taking buses or you rent a car and you're going for it. But what do you do on Shabbos? You don't want to mess up on an opportunity, you know, especially in the summertime, you have a long Shabbos to see the sights of the city. So you go for a long tiyul. There's only one problem. There's no Eruv. Now, if there's no Eruv, you have a problem because it's a hot summer day and you can't get dehydrated. So in most of the famous cities in Europe, they have fountains all over the place, right? But the question is, how do you situate yourself if the fountain is a... If here's the extreme case. That's not our case. But the fountain is in Rishus HaYochid, and you're standing in Rishus HaRab. That's really problematic. But the Rabbanim made another gzera, and they said that even if you would stand firmly in one rishus and just lean over a little bit into the other rishus, that also is awesome. Even though that's not hotzah, because what you do is the water goes down into your system in the second rishus, then you bring your body back into the first rishus, that's not called carrying, because the water is already in your body. But you know what? Who knows what's going to happen? You know, people get confused and they might do some sort of hotzah. Good. So that's Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRab. Now there's another gzera that has nothing to do with the first gzera, and that is called Carmelis. Carmelis is a place that technically is available and accessible to the Rabbim, but it doesn't have certain of the conditions of Rishus HaRab. On a Doraisa level, it has the status of a Makom Ptur. The Rabbanan said that this Carmel is, because it's well trodden and well visited, is like a Rishus HaRab. Now let's see if we can do a piggyback, a harkava, of these two gzeres. When the Rabbanan say you can't be firmly situated with your feet in one Rishus and lean your head over to another Rishus to drink the water, would they say it even if the second Rishus is a Carmelis? You're in a Rishus HaYochid and you're leaning over into a Carmelis, or vice versa, your feet are firmly planted in a Carmelis and you lean over into Rishus HaRab. So he says the following. Kigon Masha Gazru Shlo Yamod Odo Birshus HaYochid V'yishteh Birshus HaRab Olehepech Shema Yotzi Mirshus Lushus V'yesh Listapik Im Gzera Im Gazru Gzera Zu Af Or gam b'karmel shehid rabbanon. Shol yamod b'karmelis v'yishte b'rishus harab or b'rishus hayachid v'yishte b'karmelis. What would you say about that? Is that gzera l'gzera?
Depends on the size of the fountain.
Okay.
It's very small. Yes.
Ubazem atzinu shenechleku abaye v'rofa. Das abaye she'ein zeh nechshav l'gzera l'gzera. Ela osa gzeirah shegazu b'shus haram, gazu gav b'kamel, she the rabbanon. When the rabbanon instituted the gzeirah that you're not allowed to put your head into, stick it into b'shus haram, they included kamels, because from their perspective, kamelus is already upgraded, and the character is a b'shus haram. Das rova, shezui gzeirah l'gzeirah, v'lo gazu ke'en. So although you're not allowed to stand in a Rishus HaRabim, Mamish, and lean over, but you can stand in a Karolus and lean over and drink in the Rishus HaYoch. Okay. So now let's just think for a minute why this is the second category. Meaning, the fact that I would allow you to drink in the Karolus doesn't mean that you're going to lose it as far as the Gzeir of Karolus. In other words, it's not the first category where if we insist on permitting the second gzeiro, you're going to lose it as far as the first gzeiro is concerned. But rather it's a case of one shichicha upon another shichicha, meaning I'm going to forget and I'm going to carry. I'm going to forget that a karmelis is different, I'll carry in Rishus HaRabim. It's just jacking up the statistical probabilities that you might come and chas v'sholom violate Meleches Hotzah d'Oraisa. So let's see how this machlokas Abai v'Rava could plug in to our sugya. He says the following. Okay. V'hu adin hanidon b'sugyatein. Hine hanidon b'sugyatein. If basar of b'cholov domel, again, we're assuming now the basar of is only the rabban. If domel of an asheni, l'chor it should be similar to the second category. Sharei gozru chachom al basar b'cholov do raisa, shelo yalu al shulchan ze im ze. Correct? What are they saying? That if you put both Oaf and Chalav on the same table, you might come to eat it. And if you come to eat that, you might come to eat Behema. It really fits into the second category. Ume'ata, yesh l'stapik im gozru gamkein b'basar b'chalav d'rabbanan shehu b'basar Oaf. Should we insist on this gzera of halah in the case of, so you can't put basar behema together with gvina on the same table? Should we add to that basar of when basar of itself is a gzera, and that would add one gzera to the other? Vitoli b'machlokas anal shel Abai v'Rava. In other words, Abai would maintain, yes, we do accept gzera l'gzera, because once we made the first gzera, we have to include in the first gzera the second gzera. But Rava says no. Why add another gzera to the first gzera? Al zeh bo Rav Yosef lochiach michalas chutzot shegam bazeh ein gozu gzera l'gzera kidas Rava v'abaye doches dvorav mishum shehu l'shitasa. Abaye holds that even in the second category, gazrin gzera l'gzera is considered kula chad gzera, because again, since each gzera in and of itself is meaningful in whatever case it is, then I can just piggyback them together, and when the first gzera was made, it included and extended into the second gzera as well. But both sides, there's only one problem. That we paskin that basar of is only the rabbanon, and in the machlokas between Abai v'Rava, we paskin like Rava, except for six exceptions. This is not one of the six.
But why would we say that this is just a halachic argument? It's not that Abai is paskining that basar of is doorah. He's saying that the Tana is not going by the shita of Rabbi Akiva.
No, but I'm asking the following: if we can accept that basar of is derabbanan, and we pass him halacha, therefore when the Mishnah says of, and it includes of in the Iser halah, we're going to paskin, and this I'll show you in Shulchan Aruch Pei Zayin, that you're not allowed to put Oaf and Gvina on the same table.
Fine.
Even though it's only Drabbana.
Fine.
No, but why should that be Aser according to Rava? Rava holds that would be a classical case of Gzera L'Gzera.
Oh, because
So that's what I think should be the answer. And the Maharish Shapiro doesn't make that little last step. That the problem of Oaf and Halah is not Gzera L'Gzera in the second category that he presented, but rather in the first category. And it's tough. The question is, can we read that into Abaye? In which case, Abaye is saying that even you, Rava, would agree with me in this case, that it's not Gzera L'Gzera, but it's Kula Chad Gzera. Okay? All right, whatever we did. And I wish everyone a great Shabbos. It should be a great Shabbos because it's the last Shabbos of the year, you know, and it's got to be... So that's the question. When Abai says this is Kulachad Gzera, is it on his turf because it's the second category, a Gzera, where we just piggyback two Gzeras, one on top of the other? And then we have a problem halacha because we pass like Rova. Or shall we say that Abai was saying even l'shitascha this is not exer, it's cool without exer because it's a Torah element.